Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, filling in for Brian Mackey. For the first two segments of our show today, we're revisiting two conversations we had last month looking at the rise of gun violence in Chicago. When we originally aired these segments following the 4th of July weekend, it was the city's most violent weekend on record this year. 104 shot, 19 killed, and 13 children hurt. And gun violence is on pace to be the highest it's been since 2016. We heard about how gun violence affects survivors, and Brian Mackey also spoke with someone who has a perspective on how violence and policing are related. Takinya Nixon is an assistant public defender for Cook County and writer of a recent Teen Vogue op-ed, "Rising Crime in Cities Like Chicago Should Not Lead to More Policing." We wanted to re-air Brian Mackey's conversation with Takinya Nixon, and here it is.
Takinya, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Takinya, your essay begins with describing the perpetual fear and anguish in your neighborhood. You write that shootings are so common, your dog knows the difference between a gunshot and fireworks. I want to come back in a little bit to the sort of the crux of the argument you make in your piece, but can you tell us just a little bit about your own personal experience in your everyday life and how you came to want to be a public defender?
Oh, absolutely. So the shootings that happen in my neighborhood, I hear gunshots every day. They are in the distant. So it makes me feel, you know, a little safe that they're not close by. But a few years ago, there was a young man that was shot on the block where I live. He was killed. But it's something that regularly happens in every neighborhood in the city of Chicago, whether it's the north, south, east, or west, but it is highlighted more often when it happens in the Black and Latinx neighborhoods, especially on the west and the south side. I do live on the southeast side of Chicago, and it is disheartening when there is all of the gun violence that happens every single day in the city, but it is not any different than any other city in America. And as I always say, gun violence is not a Chicago problem. It's an American problem with the fascinations with guns. And how I became or wanted to become a public defender. So I've always considered myself to be a bit of an underdog where people have always counted me out. So I've always wanted to help people who have, you know, felt like they have been left behind by society. For one reason or another. When I was in law school, I thought I wanted to do corporate law and handle major contracts. And then I had an internship with the Lucas County Public Defender's Office in Toledo, Ohio. And I knew instantly that this was my calling. So it was a wonderful experience, which is the same experience I get working here in Cook County.
I just want to acknowledge what you said a moment ago. I've been thinking about it ever since you said it. The idea that you hear shots where you live, but because they're more distance, it makes you feel safer. I mean, as you said, gun violence is not a Chicago problem. Certainly it afflicts Rockford and Peoria and Springfield and Champaign and other cities where our program airs. But I mean, it's striking to me that hearing shots in the distance makes you feel safer. I mean, a lot of people don't hear shots at all where they live in different parts of Illinois.
And that is so true. But I live in a reality where gun violence is very prevalent. Gun shots happen all the time. And it seems silly, but I do take some comfort in the fact that the gunshots are in the distance and they're not around the corner or on my block.
Yeah, no, and I didn't mean to say it sounds silly. It's just it's striking. Yeah. So you write that as a public defender, taxpaying Chicagoan who's a survivor of crime and police violence, who lives in an over-policed neighborhood afflicted by violence, you care deeply about investments to ensure health and safety in your community. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the problem that I see with gun violence is far greater than the immediate. It's not people who have the guns or that are arrested with guns, because quite frankly, a lot of people who are arrested with unlawful use or possession of a weapon, which are the majority of the cases that I see come in have no felony convictions in their background. And it is a licensing issue. The fact that we have the Second Amendment, which gives us the right to bear arms, but here in Illinois, the only way that you can possess a handgun or a shotgun is if you have a firearm owner's identification card. That is a license. And the simple fact of possessing it does not make it a violent crime. It just makes you not having that license. But Illinois has decided that this licensing issue, when it comes to a gun, they'll make it a felony offense for some, because it's not always. There are misdemeanor offenses, but quite frankly, if you're Black in Chicago, you are going to be charged with a felony. And it is all about not having that plastic, that piece of plastic on your person. That is the difference between you being able to exercise your constitutional right and you becoming a convicted felon, or the possibility of you becoming a convicted felon. So more policing is not the answer. It's education that is the answer. It's educating people on the fact that getting a firearm owner's identification card is as simple as filling out an application and, you know, making the payment. The payment's approximately $10, or it's between $10 and $20. Last that I checked, and hopefully, you know, being approved by the Illinois State Police. But the problem is, if you have misdemeanor convictions in your background, or if you have felony convictions, there's just no possible way that you will get the firearm owner's identification card. And so the greater issue is, why are these shootings happening? And it's because of the lack of resources within the neighborhoods. It is the lack of jobs. It is the lack of a sufficient education. It is the lack of mental health resources. A lot of the mental health agencies have been closed down for lack of funding in the Black and Brown neighborhoods. It is the lack of resources for people who have drug addiction and drug problems. Mm-hmm. So it is not the fact that Chicago does not have enough police and there aren't enough police on the streets. There are not enough resources to help people in finding jobs and securing jobs and making money and being able to afford to live in Chicago and be comfortable in their space.
You describe the killing of a 7-year-old girl named Jaslyn near your office. She was shot while sitting in the backseat of her dad's car at a McDonald's drive-thru. And you say your outrage was not directed at the person that pulled the trigger. Why not?
I have a unique understanding, because of what I do for a living, that I understand that crime happens. I understand that people retaliate for different reasons. And I understand that there's this impulse that people have. So they're not thinking before they act. And so the person that pulled that trigger, that killed that young girl, I don't fault them. I don't praise what they did. It was a selfish act. But I don't fault them, because I understand that they come from a place of hopelessness, that the only respect that they're going to have is the respect that they garner from those in their community and on the streets, and that there is nothing, they cannot see beyond their neighborhood and even sometimes their block. And so it is the hopelessness that is created by the lack of resources, by the lack of empathy for what happened in their life, that angers me, and that put that person in that position to think that he or she had to go after the father of that young girl, and in turn ended up killing the young girl.
In our previous conversation on the program today with Lakedra Chavis from The Trace, she was talking about the community of Roseland in Chicago, which had 60 shootings this year, 1,200 in the past decade. And she notes that police end half of all shooting investigations after a month. Just 5% of shootings end up in arrests. And I'm curious how you reconcile the idea that, you know, on the one hand, there is a craving for that kind of policing, right? Solving shootings, solving homicides. And on the other hand, you know, reckoning with the idea that we need less policing in certain areas. Can you bridge those desires that might seem on a surface level to be in conflict?
So the idea isn't that we need less policing. The idea is that the policing that we currently have needs to be improved, and that it needs to be more community-based versus, and it needs to be less of them against us, which is how I have felt when dealing with the Chicago Police Department. It is all about, you do what I say, not as I do, and you respect me, but I'm not going to respect you. I've watched countless body camera videos of the police just disrespecting children, women, men, you know, in neighborhoods such as Roseland, just for the simple fact that no one's going to believe the citizen, because everyone thinks that once a person puts on a uniform and they call themselves a police officer, that they are then better than, or they're no longer human in the sense that they don't have egos or they don't have agendas, or that they simply cannot lie about a situation and how it happened. And so my article isn't about that we need less policing. My article is about we don't need more police on the streets, that we need to reform how the police do business, and that needs to change in order to see real change within the communities.
All right, I want to go down to the phones. Steve is on line 4. Steve, calling from Logan Square in Chicago. Steve, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoying the show today. I'm coming with kind of a unique perspective, and just a couple of observations, comments, and then I can ring off and listen to your guest's comment. But I actually grew up on the South Side, got married. My wife and I raised our family. We left the city about 25 years ago to start our family. And now we've been back in Logan Square area for about 6 or 7 years, actually living about 2 blocks from Lori Lightfoot's house, believe it or
okay.
not.
Mm-hmm.
But what concerns me, and obviously I'm, 65-year-old white guy, so, I mean, you know, what do I know? But it just the city that obviously I grew up in is completely different. And I'm concerned, not so much for myself, but I'm concerned about the randomness of it all. It appears now that there's this new phenomenon on the weekends in Chicago in the evening where groups of teenagers, and they're saying now on the news that some of them as young as 15 have guns in their knapsack, are blocking downtown streets for no apparent rationale except to cause mayhem. Hmm. And my concern on a purely selfish point of view is from the economic point of view that
sure.
if you're
all right, Steve, I think we have it. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're just running short on time. And I do want to ask our guest to respond to what you had to say to Kenya Nixon. I wonder if you have a perspective. I mean, there are many different Chicagos and competing desires for what they want to see from police, from different people in Chicago, right?
Oh, absolutely. There is definitely a tale of two cities. So there is the haves and the have-nots. And so news media focuses on the have-nots because it drives ratings. And it does seem like there are kids, teenagers just going downtown, running amok, and it seems random. While I haven't had much contact with the juveniles, if any of them are being arrested, because I deal directly with 18 and over, but I don't believe that it's random. I don't think that there are just kids who all of a sudden end up downtown. They're like, hey, let's start a little trouble and get into the trouble. I honestly don't believe that any of the things that happen are random. I think the news media and the police are saying that it's random because they just quite frankly don't have their ears to the ground in the neighborhoods, and they don't know what's going on, and they don't know what's causing these distractions. And if there's something greater, you know, afoot, or the police department knows and they're just not telling us. What people don't know is that the Chicago Police Department have eyes everywhere. This city is connected wirelessly with different cameras on every single block, on every single street. Downtown is probably the most heavily surveilled area in Chicago, where there are cameras everywhere. The Chicago Police Department has whole, they have entire social media teams, they have entire, for lack of a better term, people who are manning these cameras. So don't think the pod cameras only exist, or these cameras that sit on the corners that can watch the areas only exist in the Black and brown neighborhoods. They're absolutely everywhere on absolutely every corner in the city of Chicago. So the police probably know what's happening and they're just not telling us.
All right, Takenya Nixon is an assistant public defender for Cook County. I'm going to ask if you can just stick around for a couple more minutes. We need to take a break, but I do have a couple more things I just wanted to talk with you about. So listeners, this is the 21st. We're going to continue this conversation if Ms. Nixon can stick with us for just a couple minutes longer than we asked. We need to take a break, though. Stay with us. More to come.